catch up with, and maybe perhaps you've never had the opportunity or taken it. There's a chance this afternoon. The offer of free copy of Mark's Gospel, an extract from the Bible. It's important for, well, a lot of reasons, but the main one, of course, is your soul and its salvation. You know, a lot of things can fall out to a person in this world, and terrible, awful things that are happening in the world that we live in today. But you know, to forfeit your life, someone to kill you, for instance, you know, even a nuclear holocaust, that's not the worst that can befall a person in this world. Jesus, he says that we are to fear God, the one who has the ability not only to kill our bodies, but to cast our souls into hell. So, you see, there's something very, very real to be saved from. Consequences of God's judgment, the result, of course, of human sin. And so the Bible, of course, gives us, well, the answer to that. A lot of comfort there, encouragement. Encouragement to believe, encouragement to trust in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that salvation, security, eternal security, I mean, might be found. Bible gives us a beginning. In the beginning, God created. No, it didn't evolve. It's not the product of some happenstance, accident. You can't produce anything out of nothing. Well, only God can. So, the beginning, God created. But then, of course, the Bible too gives us a very graphic picture as to what the conclusion will be. And of course, well, depending upon what you do with Jesus of Nazareth, what you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that of course is the ultimate, that will determine is your eternal future, how things will end for you. Maybe perhaps you haven't read the Bible today, or maybe for some time. Maybe perhaps I could share just a few words, words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, just as it was in the days of Noah, that's the man who got saved in the flood by the ark. You know, you've heard of him. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. That is when he returns. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, when they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That is when Jesus returns again in glory. So, just as it was back in those days, visitations of God's judgment, nobody of course believed Noah, nobody believed Lot, nobody believed just fairy tales. Everything carries on. People are getting married, being married, given in marriage, eating and drinking. Things are just going on as they always have done and always will do. That is, of course, until the event, the experience of God's judgment falls upon them. And of course, well, it's far too late then. You see, it's now God says in His Word in the Bible is the acceptable time. That is the time when men and women can turn from their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and find salvation. But of course, you can hear about it. You can know about it. You can read about it. You can be very, very well versed in the matters of religion, even true religion. But if you don't do anything about it, if you don't obey, submit yourself to the gospel, to what God demands of you, that is to repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Of course, the Bible does assure us of God's love. His love, of course, even for those with whom He is angry. Now, the two are quite compatible, you know. For to say that God is His wrath, you're exposed to His wrath because of His unbelief, that doesn't mean to say that He doesn't love you. Oh, there's evidence and a plenty for God's love for you. The very fact that He created a world for you to live in and gave you all manner of things to enjoy, that in itself is a great, vast evidence of His love for you. But of course, the greatest example of all, the greatest evidence of all, the Bible tells us, is God delivering up His own Son to the death of the cross, that through Him you might be reconciled to God, have peace with God, and know the peace of God in your heart and mind. So you see, God's love is not in question, is not in doubt. You know, you've heard the words countless times. I dare say you could quote them yourself. Words from the Bible: for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Gave Him up to the death of the cross. What for? That whoever believes in His Son Jesus would not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. Security, you see, even in the face of the coming wrath and judgment of God. So that, like those people that we've read about this afternoon in Noah's day and in Lot's day, that when God's sword of justice falls upon the world, and of course, well, maybe perhaps your own nation as it is today, well, you won't perish. You'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. That's the only safe place in all the universe, don't you know? There is no security amongst your politicians. They're conferring at the moment, don't you know? The Conservatives are. Last week it was Labour. Next week it will be the Lib Dems. What philosophies, ideas will they come up with to deliver us from the wrath of Islam? What ideas will they come up with to save us from the austerity and all the king's horses and all the king's men? could not put the United Kingdom back together again. Now, they're clueless. They don't have an answer. There is no safety to be found in political ideas, or even in religion for that matter. You can become religious, and it might be the most unsafe thing that you ever do. You might be joining incarnate devils, such as belong to Islam. Oh, they say all that slaughtering, that's not Islam, that's not the religion of peace. Oh yes, it is. They're doing exactly what their book tells them to do. If you find an infidel, an unbeliever, put your knife to his neck. They're doing exactly what their book tells them to do. And the fools and blind think that they're going to paradise. They're going to hell and damnation for their deeds, for their idolatrous religion. No, it's a person that we need to keep us safe and secure. One who can take us through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And one who can take us even beyond the shores of this world to heavenly ones. A heavenly mansion, a true paradise, the heaven of God. So, you see, safety, security, love, peace, all of these things, you see, are to be found in the gospel, in the good news. We don't try, you know, we don't seek to convert you by means of a machete or a machine gun. We don't seek to convert you by means of terror. No, we are not like that. We seek to persuade you, to reason with you from the scriptures, that you might see for yourself that you're a sinner just the same as I, that you need to be forgiven and reconciled to a God of love who has provided this good news for you, that you might be saved from all such terrors. And of course, well, the terrible consequences of your own sin. So in the Bible, Jesus, my loving Savior, my gracious Savior, whose words were full of grace and truth.
What are your views on ISIS?
Islam?
Yeah.
Islam. Full stop. That's it. They're doing exactly what they're, inverted commas, holy book tells them to do. If you find an infidel, put a knife to his neck.
Yes.
It's Islam, it's not ISIS. It's Islam, full stop.
Do we not like them?
Pardon?
Do we not
like them? Not a question of whether we don't like them. Well, you tell me, is it good? Is ISIS good? The incarnate devils, man, come on.
We don't like it.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Yeah, yeah. It's false religion, it's idolatry. Wickedness, evil.
Well, you keep up the good fight.
Okay, thanks, sir.
So, Jesus, the loving and gracious Savior, who would persuade you by his grace to leave behind your sin and to turn to him and find forgiveness and salvation. In the Bible, he speaks these also gracious words. He says, unless the words of warning, but you know, they're given in grace and kindness. He says, unless you repent, turn from your sins, that is, he says, you will all likewise perish. Now, you can ask any sincere Bible reader, ask them and they will tell you that wherever you go in the Bible, you know, that this is the primary instruction that's given to men and women. In any age, any generation, it's still man's greatest and deepest need.
spite of all the technology, advances in modern science that you have, man still has a deep-seated need, and that is to be right with his Maker. There is inside each and every one of us a God-shaped void that he alone can fill. Nothing else will satisfy, and nothing else, of course, but his Son Jesus Christ, and a turning from our sins to him will bring us life, will bring us salvation, will bring us safety and security. So ask any sincere Bible reader, if you like, and they'll tell you all over the Bible, whatever the generation, God's message to men and women was, repent and believe, trust in God, the true and living God, I mean, the God of the Bible, the God who sent his Son Jesus into the world because he loved us so much. So you see, people, you ask any Bible reader, a sincere one, I mean, wherever you go, both the Old Testament, New Testament, the message is exactly the same. Isaiah, for instance, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Thinking, you see, even repenting, turning around in your mind, in your thoughts about God, about yourself, your sinful condition, what God says about us, all of us, myself included. I'm not here with a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm here just as a sinner who has found salvation, and I'm here to tell you where you can find it also. In Jesus Christ, God's Son, in turning from your sin to the Lord Jesus, you will find grace and favor from God. So the Old Testament, just the same. Doesn't matter, you can pick and choose your parts of the Bible. Some people live under the delusion that there's some kind of a change that takes place in God when you get into the New Testament. He's more loving, more kind, more generous. He's not, it's just the same. And the requirements in the New Testament are just the same. The first recorded words of Jesus, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, without the spiritual dimension to your life, you're just earthbound creatures. And there has to be a heavenly dimension to you in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. But if you don't enter it, if heaven does not come to your heart here on this earth, on this planet, while you walk the face of this earth, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven and glory when your time is done. So wherever you go, the Old or the New Testament, it's the same. The Bible all over. The primary requirement of God from you is this, that you repent, you turn around, and you go the opposite way. You turn your back upon your sinful life, and you turn to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, he says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's a gracious and it's a loving warning, exhortation if you like, you know, to escape the judgment of which, of course, we've spoken. So his call, you see, is for us to take up our cross, deny ourselves. Deny yourself the life of sin, that is. turn from it. Repent is the way, or rather the word that the Bible uses. But you see, when you consider...
Can I ask you a question? Of course you can, yeah. How are you doing? No, I'm not being punished. It's okay, yeah, yeah, it's okay, yeah. Why is there so much shit in the world? Because man comes out of man's heart. Yeah. Do you think it boils down to religion sometimes? You know, with the Muslims. Well, I know, I know, I know. You know what I'm saying? I do, I do. I had this question last week in Stafford.
If you sort of think about it, that's how people think and feel about it just now, because all that stuff's kicking off. Yeah, but there have been, there's been just as much bloodshed and even more caused by atheism. Let me give you a couple of figures: Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Karl Marx. Between them, just in one century, they were responsible for the deaths, the violent deaths, of over 120 million people.
I know. Well, that's totally non-religious.
Okay. Totally non-religious. Okay. Have a good day, sir. So there we go. You know, when you consider God's demand, you know, for repentance, for us to turn from our sins, well, it's perfectly reasonable, you know. He says elsewhere in the Bible, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You see, he requires you to use your God-given reason, but to use it in a proper fashion. Think about these things. God's demand, you see, for you to repent shows to you how heinous and aggravating sin is to a holy God. You see, you can't, the two can't live together. The sin has to be forsaken, first of all, you see, in order for you to be reconciled to God. A just and a holy God is provoked to wrath because of our sin, because of human sin. And so you see, without this repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you live constantly under the holy indignation of God. So when you consider these matters reasonably, I mean, think about them, if you will. You ought to be deterred from evil. Repent, or turn, as the Bible puts it, from all such as you know to be sin. Repentance, you see, denotes a person's abhorrence with sin, a desire, no more than a desire, even an intention to forsake sin. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. So what is this repentance of which the Bible, or rather God, requires of us? Well, it's a sorrow for sin, you know. It's a heart condition. It's not an outward thing, simply and only. Many people, of course, who tidy up their lives, give over certain sinful habits because maybe it's affecting the family or it's affecting their lives, and so they desist from certain bad habits, sinful habits, and that's well and good, so they should. But that's not in itself necessarily repentance. There has to be a sorrow in the heart, a weeping of the heart, a brokenness of heart, because you have offended love, because you have offended God's holiness. And so you see, without that sorrow, without that brokenness, lest you repent of your foolishness, sir, you will all, along with the rest, likewise perish. Have a good day, sir. and may God deliver you from your folly. So a sorrow there is for sin, and a hatred for sin. You know the trouble is, isn't it? We love our sin. That's why we don't want to leave it. That's why we don't want to repent. In fact, the word repent is probably the most hateful word in all of religion to you. Even your churches don't speak about it anymore because they're frightened of driving you out of the door. But you see, unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. So it must be spoken. You have to come and hate that which you love most, your sin. The Bible testifies and says that men loved the darkness rather than the light, and so they would not come to the light. So you see, people, we have this love, this desire, craving, even lusting for sin. But unless you hate it and turn from it with a hatred, hating everything that's offensive to God and loving His truth, His righteousness. Well, that's what repentance means. It's a deep sorrow for sin, a brokenheartedness, and a hatred for sin. And of course, a forsaking of it, turning from it with no thought of returning to it. Some people do, you know. The Bible describes them this way, like the dog that returns to its vomit. That's what a man, that's what a woman's like. Who turns, once turns away from their sin, but then goes back to it. It's not true repentance, you see. It's not what the Bible requires. It's not what God requires of you. It's not what Jesus speaks about when He says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. No, He means a deep sorrow for your sin, a hatred of it, a despising of it, and of course, a forsaking it, turning away from it with no thought of returning to it again. But the cause of this repentance, well, in a word, it's God Himself. You see, no man or woman ever repented of their sins themselves. The Bible makes it clear that repentance is a gift from God. It's given. It's given from God. You can no more repent than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. An impossibility. Oh, you might try. You might last for 24, 48 hours, but not much more. You'll soon be back wallowing in your sin again. True repentance, you see, it's a gift. It's a gracious gift from God. And He gives it to those whom He intends to save, deliver from His judgment and from their sin. So you cannot work it in yourself, do it yourself. Can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, can you do good? There's none that does good, says God. That's His indictment upon the entire human race, all of us. So unless God gives you the gift, you see, don't be thinking, please, will you, that you should be doing God some kind of a favor, were you to contemplate even becoming a Christian and repenting of your sin. You can no more do such than fly in the air, as you want to say. Now, people, it's a gift from God. And unless God gives it to you, you'll never repent. But unless you do repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. The gift comes, you see, as a result of God's grace. And grace is something you can't work for, be good for, be morally upright for, or be religious for. If you have to do something for it, it is no longer grace, it's works. And the Bible makes it clear that no flesh will be justified in God's sight by works. So you can be the best do-gooder that ever there was, and you can be the best religious person ever there was, but that will not get you into heaven. That will not get you into God's paradise, the proper one I mean, heaven. No, people, you see, it comes by God's grace, and God gives His grace to who He chooses to give it to. It's not you that chooses Jesus, it's Jesus who chooses you. And unless He chooses you, you'll perish just like the multitudes, the masses. Now, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Unless God, in His grace and kindness, favors you and grants you, gives to you His gracious gift of repentance, you never shall. So how does it come to a person? It comes through the Word of God and the proclamation of the Word of God. It's the same as faith, you see. When you hear the message of God's salvation about your sin and your accountability to God, every one of you, and of course, the judgment, the consequences upon your sin, your sinful nature, as well as your deeds, thoughts, and words. You see, it's hearing such. If you don't hear the message of salvation, it's very unlikely that you will repent. So I come, maybe you think I'm your enemy in some way, but I'm not. What? Are we finished with the foolishness? Yeah, that'll be it. Have a nice day. Yeah, it's through hearing the Word of God. The Bible says concerning faith, faith comes through hearing the Word of God. And repentance is the same, you see. It's when you hear about your sin. I know you don't like to hear about it. Your commandment breaking, you know. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not kill. No other gods before me. No idolatry. It's when you hear and you begin to realize what sin is and what a sinner you are, and your heart begins to melt and break, well, that's a good sign. Or you get convicted, you start to feel a little bit angry, maybe even, at the preacher for saying such things to you. Well, that's a good sign. That's a sign, maybe, who knows, of the operations of God's Spirit bringing you to that place where you can actually repent. But unless you repent and believe the gospel, well, you cannot enter God's kingdom. You cannot be saved. Then, of course, it comes to you, the gift of God, I mean, repentance. It comes to people, men and women, through the witness of the church, you see. That's why I come here Tuesday by Tuesday to witness. Testify to you about the things of God that you might hear, that you might hearken to God's counsel and stop walking in your own counsels, your own wisdom that is, and turn to God's wisdom and open the book for yourself and read and see that these things are so. But as we testify to you about the truth as it is in Jesus, Well, who knows but God might smile upon you and grant you his grace and his favor and this gift of repentance, because in the words of Jesus, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's an absolute. It's an absolute necessity. Because you see, we're all sinners. You say, I've done no wrong. How can I be a sinner? You say, I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't murdered anyone. Not like these religious people that terrorize the world at the moment. How could God possibly have anything against you? You're respectable, and in your own eyes, and in the eyes of your neighbors, you're good. Well, the Bible says God's testimony, his indictment upon the entire human race, is that there is none good, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, you see, people, the fact is that we are all sinners, born, conceived in sin, and we practice sin from the moment we start to breathe. So, it's a necessity, you see, and a necessity for all men. Whoever you be, from the north or the east, the west or the south, matters not where you come from, what your color, your creed is. We're all God's creatures, sinful creatures. And God requires of us all that we repent. And of course, believe the gospel. But unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. There can be no communion with the Holy God. How can the two possibly mix? It's like oil and water. Your righteousnesses, that's your good deeds, God says, are like filthy rags in his sight. He won't touch them, look upon them. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil, the Bible says. So how could there possibly be any communication between you and God as long as you cling to your sin and walk in it and wallow in its filth? It has to be repented of, turned from. And of course you have to be washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is. And for another reason, because heaven, and that's, remember, that's where we started, you know, all the violence, you know, and many ways by which your life can be taken. But God says, don't fear men who can kill your body, but fear God who can not only kill your body, but cast your soul into eternal fires, hell even. We're talking about escaping hell, and there's only one place that you can escape hell to, and that's heaven. But heaven's doors are barred shut tight to you. They're watertight, rather, they're sin tight. Nothing the Bible testifies, the last book of the Bible, read it for yourselves, the last two chapters. Nothing that tells a lie. You say you haven't sinned, you ever told a lie? Well, then you're a sinner. You ever looked at a woman or a man lustfully? Then you're a sinner. A wicked sinner who needs to repent, just like all other men. And until you do, unless you repent, Jesus says, shall all likewise perish. Heaven's barred tight shut to you, no entrance. There's nothing that defiles, nothing unclean, nothing that tells a lie or curses or blasphemes God's name. Nothing of that in heaven. So you cling to your sin, you stay with it, and well, there's no way that you can know the safety and security of heaven one day. And then it's a necessity because, well, because you're lost. You're lost without Jesus. And if you live in your sin, and you die in your sin, and I think it's pretty much in this a generation of God's wrath. In this generation today, I think it's pretty safe to say that the majority of you under the sound of my voice this afternoon will die the same way that you were born and the way that you've lived in your sin. And if you do, well then you'll be lost forever. It's bad enough to be lost in this world. It's bad to be lost anywhere. But to be lost forever, that is tragic. Especially so when there's a God who so loved you that he gave his son up to the death of the cross, that through him that you might be relieved of your sin. Repenting of it, turning from it, and turning to Jesus, and finding forgiveness, pardon, washing, made clean and acceptable to God, reconciled to God. But repentance is a necessity. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Those are the words of the Savior who died for sinners, that you might escape such an end, such eternal lostness. So I bid you take a copy of God's Word home with you. Read for yourself and see that these things are indeed so according to the Bible. And in the book, behold, see for yourself the crucified Jesus, the one who was crucified for sinners, sins that you have done, not sins that he did. He had no sin. See, if you will, in God's word, his hands and his feet, his pierced side and his thorn-crowned brow, he suffered in the extreme more than any man, and he endured God's wrath for the sin of the world upon himself on that cross. God at Calvary, in the death of his son, opened up a fountain where sinners could go and wash and be made clean, get rid of their uncleanness. He endured all that suffering, that death, so that it would be possible that such as you and I could repent and believe the gospel and enter the kingdom of heaven before it's too late. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. I offer to you again a copy of God's word that's offered to you free of charge without cost or obligation. It's God's written word. Do with it as you will, but maybe perhaps as you read it, and I pray for you, maybe God would give you the light, the grace, and the gift of repentance in order that you might be saved. So, there it is. It's offered to you. Yours, as I say, to take and do with as you will. But of course, you could go one better than that. You could take God's living word home with you in your heart. I mean Jesus, I mean the Son of God. You could cry out to him from your heart, because it is a heart business after all. The gospel, the Christian gospel, I mean. We're not talking about religion, we're talking about the heart and the issues of the heart. We're talking about those who worship God in spirit and in truth. You could cry out to Jesus and ask him to give you the gift of repentance, or maybe even now you're ready to repent, and ask him to be your Savior, to deliver you from the coming judgment, the wrath of God, that you might be safe, not just in this world, but in the world to come, that you might know eternal life. Well, God's word is offered to you. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, come and ask for one before I go. May God have mercy upon your precious souls.